A reading from the book of Genesis. After the man, Adam, had eaten of the tree, the Lord God called to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Then he asked, "Who told you that you were naked? You have eaten then from the tree of which I have forbidden you to eat." The man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and so I ate it." The Lord God then asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" The woman answered, "The serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl, and dirt shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head, while you strike at his heel." The word of the Lord.
I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Oh, let your ears be attentive to the sound of my prayer.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, "I believed, therefore I spoke." We too believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. Therefore, we are not discouraged. Rather, although our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if our earthly dwelling, a tent, should be destroyed, we have a building from God, a dwelling not made with hands, eternal in heaven. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus came home with his disciples. Again, the crowds gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul. And by the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they said, he has an unclean spirit. His mother and his brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you. But he said to them in reply, who are my mothers and my brothers? And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Verbum Domini. As we go forward, following Jesus, living the Christian life, now we detach more and more from things and even from people. And as we grow closer to Jesus, we start to become more like him. And as we do this, we can often be faced with some resistance in the form of persecution. Now, sometimes people will reject us. And some of those greatest hurts or heartbreaks in rejection are from those who are closest to us, our best friends, and even our family. But Jesus still calls us. Today, we hear of Jesus being rejected by those who know him, his own family. They're saying that he has an unclean spirit in him, that he's mad. He's a crazy person. Look what he's doing. And so they try to seize him, you know, to take him out of his ministry, try to come and hide him. See, but with learning about this and seeing that even Jesus too was rejected by his closest friends and even some of his family, this should give us strength. See, because Jesus, he's gone before us. And him who is the way, the truth, and the life is showing us the way. He's teaching us how to live his life. So here we have Jesus, who, you know, he's attracting much attention. He's going around proclaiming the kingdom of God, performing miracles, exorcising demons, and people are just compelled by him. You know, they're captivated by his message. And so here they are rushing to him. Now it says that he couldn't even eat. And he's receiving all this attention. And then, you know, rightfully so, people are repenting. People are turning towards God now. But then here is his family getting in the way again. You know, his family tries to seize him, to stop him. So what's wrong with him? I mean, imagine here is Jesus now. He's lived this hidden life for 30 years. Now, it's been quiet. Tradition, history tells us that he was most likely a carpenter working with St. Joseph, that there was some kind of business going on. Now, he was caring for his mother. Oh, a good citizen. A warm personality, just a very kind man. And then he leaves all that and goes out preaching, healing, teaching. And, you know, we see him leaving this, and doing this other thing, and so people automatically think that he is crazy. Why is he doing that? No, some of the religious leaders accuse him of having a demon inside of him. No, Jesus is out there casting out demons. No, it was one thing that it was very common at the time of Jesus that there was many exorcisms, many possessions, and so exorcists would go out and cast out demons from people. But it was also said that sometimes some of these people who were casting out demons had demons themselves in them. So here they are thinking that Jesus has a demon in him. However, the Jesus, he's casting out demons, they don't come back. Of course, he warns that this could happen later, but no, there they are. And they're recognizing who he is. In the earlier verses, it says that they says, oh, here he is, the Son of God. The demons are recognizing it, but these people in front of Jesus are not. They don't see who he really is. And so Jesus goes out and, he has to give them correction. He tells them, how can Satan cast out Satan? Basically telling them that they don't make any sense. And then, he brings them to even greater truths here. He's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, at that time, the Hebrew understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit was that the Holy Spirit revealed truth to people. And then at the same time, once he revealed the truth, he brought people to accept the truth, to acknowledge it and accept it, and of course, work on living the truth. Now, at this time, there was no Pentecost, so the Spirit was with them, but wasn't inside of them. But this is how generally they thought the Holy Spirit worked. So here is Jesus speaking truth, doing works of charity. And yet they're rejecting this. They're rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit. They cannot receive the truths that are coming from him, ultimately from the Father. They're saying again, he's crazy, and so that's why Jesus says, every sin will be forgiven, but not the sin against the Holy Spirit, because that is blasphemy, to say the Holy Spirit is wrong, to reject the Holy Spirit. Ultimately in these days, the Holy Spirit, he's here to bring us to conversion, and continual conversion, continual transformation. So now they're rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit. And then, Jesus goes on to say, and speaking about family, close friends, they're saying that the mother of Jesus and his brothers, his family is out near outside, and they're calling for him, asking about him. And Jesus says that, who are my mother and my brothers and sisters? He says, the ones who are my mothers and brothers and sisters are the ones who do the will of God. These are my mother, brothers, and sisters, those who are following him. Now, as we already know, his mother's already following him. But what Jesus is saying here, we got to look at this in the context, is that here in this context is that yes, his family has rejected him, but yet he's speaking to us about a new family. This people of God, his followers. Says we become a family here in this church. It is a family here. We are called to live the Trinitarian life. So he says here, this is the true family. And the ones who do the will of God have made themselves a part of this family. What is the will of God? Of course, to follow Jesus, but to love the Lord your God with our heart, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the will of God. Then, of course, later on, we find out what we are to do, vocation, and everything else. So for us now, No, yes, it is very difficult to be rejected by those close to you. But Jesus has endured it. No, and with Jesus, we see that he is always victorious. And that Jesus, you know, here they are trying to refute him. They're scrutinizing him. They're questioning him. They're accusing him. But he always wins. He's never put to shame. And even on the cross, when they think that they've conquered him, that they defeated him, there is still the victory of charity because they did not break him. Because he loves all the way to the end. And then with this same love, he rises again in glory and power. So that they never beat Jesus. He was always victorious. And so with us following him, we too share in this victory. He says that if we live with it, we're baptized with the baptism of Jesus. So we live with him, we die with him, we rise with him. Yes, it's heartbreaking to have your family or your friends reject you. No, but we pray for them. And remember, in praying for them, we remember that God is faithful. No, God will hear our prayers. And what we read about in the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, you know, in the book of Acts, we learn about whole households coming to Jesus. First one is saved and then the household. And that's what we believe God for, especially with those of our family who are not following the Lord, that they will be saved. Sometimes this means that we may not live to see it. No, we may go and into eternity and pray for them. Oh, and sometimes there are some family members that are just so wounded, but God sees them with mercy. And often it'll be at their last breath that they repent and they come to the Lord. No, but God will work it out. This is what we believe him for. And so we who are called to Jesus, let nothing stop us. Now we look at an example here. St. Francis of Assisi. Remember St. Francis? He was, as a young man, he was, you know, very popular. No, he was often considered the life of the party. Very, very jovial, you know, full of life. A little vain, he aspired to be a knight. He wanted this noble profession, one of honor. You know, he also had his father was a merchant and a successful one, and he had that to fall back on too. He could receive the wealth of this inheritance from his dad. But yet, St. Francis answers the call of Jesus. He leaves it all. And eventually he renounces all things and follows Jesus. He does this so radically and almost literally. But there he finds his true happiness. See, for us too, we follow Jesus. Jesus says, whoever would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul at the end? See, it's difficult because, you know, we want to be secure. We want to be safe. And sometimes in following the Lord, we can't see that. You know, it's almost like we walk in a dark room. No, but remember, this is a journey of faith. God provides. God gives us. And as St. Paul says, he gives us according to his riches and glory. But what are these riches and glory? This is the life of Jesus himself within us. So that means that we have to live the life of Jesus, which means some rejection, some pain, some suffering, some blood, sweat, and tears. But Jesus has done it, and he was victorious, so will we be victorious. I'll share with you a personal story. You know, I remember as a young man back, I think I was 21 years old, back in 1996, I felt the Lord calling me. I didn't become a friar till 2002, so I became a lay missionary with an organization out in Orange County, the Diocese of Orange. And I remember I'd have to raise money for the trip. So I started fundraising and selling things and all that. You know, I just wanted to be radical in following the Lord. But some of my family thought differently. This is why are you doing this? You know, here you are driving a junky car. Buy a new car. You're going to school. Use the money for school. You know, I was, you know, of course, I was younger and probably 50 or 60 pounds lighter, looking really nice. You know, what about the ladies? You could have any lady you want. You know, why aren't you going after that? You know, and then I had a best friend, childhood friend, you know, from junior high school, early junior high school. We were close friends, best friends. I told him about it. Hey, guess what? I'm going to be going on this missionary trip and all this. Why are you doing that for? You know, this is crazy. You're in school. You know, you can start building up your career right now. You can take advantage of all these opportunities in front of you. Why are you doing that? And once I told him that, he never talked to me again. Wouldn't answer my calls or anything. No, it was a hard thing. But yet, Jesus calls. And eventually, I mean, my best friend never came back. I prayed for his soul. That he come to the Lord. But eventually, those few family members and a few friends, you know, later on, we become a priest, and now they're asking me to come and bless their house, their dog, themselves, and everything. See, so we're never put to shame. No, God turns these things around. And yes, we may lose some people in our lives. No, and then there was one point where St. Peter asked Jesus. He says, well, what about us who have left everything to follow you? And Jesus tells him, he says, blessed are you who have left everything, because you will receive, blessed are you who have left mother and brothers and sisters and lands and houses and whatever. He says, because you will receive much more brothers, sisters. You receive this in a hundredfold, he even says. But it will come with persecutions. And he says you will receive this life in this life and in the next. What is he talking about? He's talking about here. What he says here is that you're in the family of God now. You have a new family, the body of Christ. People who think like you, people following God like you. This is your new family. No, and I'm sure some of you've been following the Lord for a long time. He brings you people that become like family. No, and they're very supportive, prayerful people. He gives it to you. This is part of that hundredfold blessing. But best of all is that when we have these rejections, we have these persecutions, we have this resistance, is that our lives are conforming more to that of Jesus Christ. And we're walking in his ways. We're receiving the inheritance. And that is something to rejoice in. That is true joy right there, is to live the life of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, this is difficult. It's a cross. You know, and as I was saying, it is like walking in a dark room sometimes. You don't know where it's coming from or where what's happening. But it is a walk of faith. And we have good words here, from powerful words from St. Paul. He says, therefore, do not be discouraged. Rather, although our outer self is wasting away, you know, the inner self is being renewed daily, renewed by the grace of the Lord, by walking in his ways. He says, for this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison, as we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal. And this is the guarantee, life in the Spirit, eternal life with God, a life with Him in His love. And that's worth more than anything this temporal life can offer. God bless you all.